This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and you've tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the General Health Information Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the very latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. For more than 20 years, Brenda Watson, CNC, has dedicated her career to helping people achieve vibrant, lasting health through improved digestive function. A dynamic health advocate, she is among the foremost authorities in America today on optimum nutrition and digestion, natural detoxification methods, and herbal internal cleansing. Brenda, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Likewise, great that you came out today. We're looking forward to hearing what you have to say on the topic. Now, although you specialize in educating people about digestive health and chose the topic of heart health for your newest program, can you tell us why you chose that?
Well, I chose it because of the correlation today between digestive or gut health and silent inflammation. And silent inflammation, of course, is the reason not only for cardiovascular disease, but also for many of the chronic inflammatory conditions that people develop in their lives, like arthritis or Alzheimer's or anything like that. So the digestive system being the core of your health, and when you develop conditions like leaky gut, which I explain in the show very clearly, then inflammatory proteins are what circulate through your bloodstream and create, in cases of cardiovascular disease or other, you know, inflammatory conditions. And so the evidence is overwhelming, and scientific evidence is overwhelming today about the correlation between silent inflammation. And, you know, Eric, most people don't understand it. I think the awareness on silent inflammation is more today simply because of the increase in statin medications, and people realize, I think, more and more that, you know, statin medication doesn't really lower cholesterol. It lowers the inflammation in the body, and many times that inflammation, most of the time, that inflammation starts as silent, meaning it's not something that you see or you feel. But eventually that, you know, blocks arteries and creates other chronic conditions.
Well, how is the health of the digestive system related to the health of the heart?
Well, Eric, it happens like this. We have a, you know, we take in, there's 30 feet of our digestive system, and we take in nutrients along the lining of the digestive system, and they enter the bloodstream. And what's happened in America is along the lining of that digestive tract, we have a lot of good friendly probiotics, and that helps with keeping the mucus lining sort of semi-permeable, meaning it's sort of like the screen on the window of your house. It allows your nutrients, vitamins, and minerals into your bloodstream, but keeps out anything that, you know, when it's healthy, anything that could enter the bloodstream and create an immune response. But unfortunately, many things destroy the friendly bacteria, and the lining or this barrier in your digestive tract, you know, anything from, you know, taking too much ibuprofen to, you know, the pesticides in our food affect this. Of course, we know today that antibiotics destroy a lot of the friendly bacteria. So what happens is once this, all along your digestive tract, once this good friendly bacteria has destroyed and the cells don't rebuild themselves along the mucus lining, you no longer have a screen on the window of your house, so to speak. We have more, it gets more holes in it. So what that means is things get into your bloodstream that create immune response, and those circulate through your blood and create inflammation.
You speak about silent inflammation being the underlying cause of cardiovascular and many other chronic illnesses, and that the silent inflammation can start in the digestive tract. With this in mind, what role does the diet play?
The diet plays a big role in it, and most of it, you know, when you talk about cardiovascular disease, you have markers, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and high blood sugar. But the problem is that most people aren't aware probably that sugar feeds blood pressure and cholesterol. So it's sort of the underlying sort of fire that's burning. And I think people understand, Eric, from the perspective of, okay, sodas have sugar in them and, you know, a cookie has sugar in it, like an added sugar perspective. But what most Americans aren't getting is the fact that sugar comes in the form of carbohydrates because they turn to sugar. And because our labeling on our foods is deceptive, we don't understand how to correlate carb grams into sugar, then the average person is clueless really about how much sugar they're getting in their diet. For example, if you look at all of your blood, you have about 7 liters of blood in your body. And in order to maintain your blood sugar levels at normal, you need about 1 teaspoon of sugar in all of your blood to maintain that. And in each day, a person should get somewhere between 8 to 10 to 12 teaspoons of sugar in all the food they're eating. But what people don't realize is a 2-ounce portion of pasta, I have a formula that I use, it's very simple, but if you convert that carb grams into teaspoons, 2 ounces of pasta converts into 8 teaspoons of sugar. So do you see how by not looking at carbs in terms of sugar, it's not clear to people how much they're actually taking in. And then this sugar feeds the silent inflammation because it feeds higher cholesterol and it feeds higher blood pressure. So it's a vicious cycle.
So let me make sure I understand. Sugar is a main culprit to the development of silent inflammation and cardiovascular disease?
Right, exactly. Yep, it certainly is.
Today we're with Brenda Watson, CNC. She has dedicated her career to helping people achieve vibrant, lasting health through improved digestive function and is among the foremost authorities in America today on optimum nutrition and digestion, natural detoxification methods, and herbal internal cleansing. She's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's General Health Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Brenda, you have a formula to figure out how much sugar that one is eating daily. What is that formula?
Well, it's like I was saying, it's like looking at, Americans don't relate to grams very well. So if we can start teaching them how to count teaspoons of sugar in their diet, it's much simpler. And the formula is if you eat, you know, if you have packaged foods or if you look at, I have charts and graphs that show you how much sugar is in fruits and vegetables in a serving, so that's very easy. You just look on the chart. But when you're trying to convert your carb grams into teaspoons of sugar so you can get a total view of that, Eric, you take the grams of carbs on a label minus the fiber from it, and if you divide that by 5, which is very simple, then that gives you the teaspoons of sugar in a serving of that food.
How can someone take more control of sugar intake? I mean, I'm sure that's probably one of the most common problems around the world, actually.
Well, actually, what I'm trying to do with the PBS show and with the books that are out is begin to show people how to, instead of looking at carbs and sugars from the perspective of, you know, grams, and to convert it to teaspoons, because if you can count the 10, Eric, you can do this. It's really simple. So to take control of it, you begin to understand in terms of teaspoons of sugar how much you're actually eating every day. And when people do this, like I have people with cholesterol levels that are skyrocketed, they return to normal within 6 weeks with getting the sugar under control and some supplemental requirements that they take with supplements. And it's really, really easy. So it's just awareness. It's awareness on using this formula, on beginning to look at the charts and graphs that we put there and understanding. And once you do it for about a week, you've got it. You can go into any grocery store, convert it very quickly and see how many teaspoons of sugar's in something. And, you know, we have the list of the fruits and vegetables.
Understand you have some special programs on PBS. Why did you choose PBS to air your special programs?
I love PBS because I get the opportunity to be able to give a clear, concise message to a viewing audience that's really educated in many cases. Like, the response that I get from PBS is overwhelming. Their viewers, a baby boomer. They're trying, in many cases, to learn more about health. As you know, there's a lot of health shows on PBS. And so I find that that venue for me is where I get a really good response, because I find the viewer is looking for solutions, because we're getting older and they want solutions to stay off of medication and find, you know, solutions for their diet so that they can live healthier, happier lives.
Getting back to the topic, what role does the omega-3 oils play in all of this?
Omega-3 oils directly address silent inflammation. They directly reduce the silent inflammation, and they also help to heal the digestive tract from leaky gut that I was speaking about earlier. The mucosal lining of the digestive tract responds well to omega-3. So omega-3, like I was saying earlier, along with becoming aware of the sugar intake and then taking the right amount of omega-3, you can really address this silent inflammation naturally. The omega-3, there's over 7,000 studies on omega-3s. It's really well studied.
Would you say that fish oil is the same as omega-3?
No. When you take, and this is a big misconception that people have, they go and they purchase a product that says fish oil on the front of the bottle, and they think that that's what they're getting omega-3, or if they don't read the back of the label, they don't understand it at all. In order to prevent cardiovascular disease or reverse it, the dosage of omega-3 daily should be about 3,000 milligrams. That's of omega-3. So let me give you an example. If you take fish and you take the oil out of fish, only 30% of the oil that comes out of fish is omega-3. So if you look at, say, 1,000 milligrams of a fish oil capsule, in most cases, only 300 milligrams of that 1,000 milligrams is the actual omega-3. The other 700 milligrams is literally saturated fat. So what you have there is, if you need 3,000 milligrams a day, in the average fish oil that you purchase, you would have to take 10 of those. And that's where the average person is confused. They don't realize that the studies on omega-3s are about the amount that you need to take to help with cardiovascular disease. And so they go and they look at a bottle and it says 1,000 milligrams of fish oil, and they assume that fish oil has 1,000 milligrams of omega-3. And not knowing they need 3,000 milligrams a day, that's why they don't take enough and they don't get the results that they could get if they had the information.
In the show, you mentioned there are four things one must look for when purchasing an omega-3 fish oil. What are those?
Well, the first thing is potency, making sure that if you look at a capsule, if you look at the label on the back, try to find an omega-3 that has 1,000 milligrams of omega-3 in that capsule, not 300, 1,000. Number two, if you buy something that has an enteric coating on it, which is a delayed release, you know, many people won't have a repeating or burping of the fish oil. Most people will stop taking fish oil because they don't like the fishy aftertaste. So look for something that's enteric coated, and that's very, very helpful in that. And also, you get better absorption with enteric coating. And number three is, make sure that the fish oil is independently certified. There's a certification you can find on a bottle called IFOS, I-F-O-S, and that's International Fish Oil Standards. And that means that a third party has independently tested that oil for potency and purity. And most companies, Eric, that use that IFOS certification pay for that. So it makes the particular fish oil brand much more, you know, makes a consumer much more comfortable that they're taking something that's pure with no PCBs, no pesticides, anything like that in it. And then the fourth thing would be you could find some of the fish oil supplements with added vitamin D. As you know, vitamin D has been shown to be very beneficial in your immunity and in health. So those are the four things: potency of 1,000 milligrams of omega-3, enteric coating, IFOS certification, and some added vitamin D.
How can someone find out when your new show is playing in his or her city?
If you go to the PBS website, you can find the listings in your area. And also, if you go on my website, brendawatson.com, you can also find some of the areas or find the link to go into the PBS website.
Certainly has been very informative. We've been speaking with Brenda Watson, who has dedicated her career to helping people achieve vibrant, lasting health through improved digestive function and is among the foremost authorities in America today on optimum nutrition and digestion, natural detoxification methods, and herbal internal cleansing. And the website of reference, once again, is brendawatson.com. Brenda, thanks so much for joining us here today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you.
You're welcome, and this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio in the General Health Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network, and we do thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.